keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And happy Mother's Day to all of our beautiful, lovely moms out there that are working hard to take care of their families and get them something good to eat and give them some discipline and, you know, stay up on them for make them get their stuff, their lessons and all. Y'all know it's like, and the other side of that is when they grow up and they go on and then they're not in your house anymore. It's just beautiful. I love it. You know, it's hard for me to remember how I used to just toil, like, these cats, they won't get this. And then they actually did years later, praise the Lord. But anyway, we hope that you all have a very blessed day out there today. New book, of course. I like to get them when they're fresh and hot. And I couldn't help but be so moved by the title and the contents, because it is so important what the author has written about. And without knowing a great deal about her personally, I can just tell from the topic that Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock is deep. And she's a deep thinker. And am I right this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Now, are you a deep thinker? Do I detect someone who thinks deep? Huh?
Well, God is working in me. I do give a lot of thought, and I attribute my thought process to how I was raised on the farm here in North Carolina. Uh-huh. And I had a lot of thinking time. So, okay. I thank God for what he has done. And I remember early on, I prayed for wisdom. Even when I didn't know what wisdom was, yeah. I thought it was a good thing to pray for. Yeah. I said, okay, yeah. Lord, give me some wisdom. Yeah. I was a teenage girl.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's so good to be with you this morning.
You as well. I know that was an unorthodox intro, because I'll be working for Jesus in my own way. But I know this subject. Soul Care in African American Practice is the title of the book. And, you know, just to have people meditate and be on in their thought processes, you know, that's why I felt like, you know, she has been the author, this author has been to that level and gets it. And or else you couldn't even put together a book on this subject.
Yes. It has been a journey, and God led me to write Soul Care in African American Practice because of the need to give voice to our spirituality, right. And looking at some of the ancient disciplines of spiritual formation, which Soul Care and spiritual direction and prayer fall under this big umbrella of spiritual formation. Mm-hmm. I just felt the call to give entry to and voices to who we are as a spiritual people, because we do it, but we don't necessarily name it. And oftentimes in the faith community, we are not identified with some of these disciplines where we have always had them, even going back to our foreparents, going back to Augustine of Hippo early on as one of the desert fathers. So I thank God for the journey. And I have a passion about spiritual development and discipleship and growth in individuals.
Well,
Soul Care.
Amen. Your background, for our audience's sake, is one that involves working with a lot of souls, in that, you know, you're a preacher, an author, an advisor, among the many titles that you have, as well as a spiritual director and founder of the Barbara L. Peacock Ministries. Tell us about your ministries.
Well, Barbara L. Peacock Ministries was really birthed after I came out of serving in the faith community. I had an opportunity to serve as minister of prayer and discipleship mm-hmm. with the Park Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina, with Bishop Paul Richard Alexander, Jr., starting in 1999, and I served on staff for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And in 2013, I was feeling pretty good. And God woke me up one morning and impressed upon me the need to come out of that assignment. Hmm. And I really wrestled with it. He woke me up the end of June. And so he was like, "You you must leave." That's what I heard in my spirit. You must leave. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, "Okay, God, it's June. We just finished with Vacation Bible School. Mm-hmm. We just came back from the minister's conference, and, you know, I got work to do."
Right.
And so I said, well, let's look at December. So I'm trying to bargain with God. And God was like, no. And I was like, well, definitely after the prayer conference, because the prayer conference was my baby, and that was going to be in October. And I know this may sound mystical with some, but this was really my experience. Hmm. And so God was like, no. And I was like, and I just felt God saying, 30 days.
Wow.
I know one of our ministers on staff, we like to call him Uncle Willis, and he says, when people say God said, you better run.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to miss, but this is what I was feeling in my spirit. So I put in my resignation, and on October the 19th, 2013, I was in an exercise class, and I was doing this exercise on my stomach in a Pilates class. They call it the Superman, where you kind of like you're riding in the sky with mm-hmm. your arms going up and down.
Mm.
And I felt like my heart was going to come out of my chest. And so I stopped. And so then I went and had my hair done, and I felt the same way. So I rushed to the hospital.
Mm.
And long story short, over a period of about 3 days, I discovered that I needed to have heart surgery because I was born with a mitral valve prolapse, and I wasn't the air wasn't getting to my body, and I wasn't breathing effectively, and I was feeling like I was choking, and I was feeling like I was dying, and I was feeling like I was faint, and I was tired all the time. And this had been progressing over time. And so from there, so then looking back, I knew why God said that, because it was a matter of life and death. I couldn't have kept on going like I was. So in 2014, I had surgery. But at the end of 2013, I also felt led to call together women, because there were so many rumors about why I left. And I said, let me call together my spiritual daughters and explain to them what I sensed was happening in my life. And then as we were there in our home in December, I sensed God saying, these women that are left after the crowd has gone, these are the women that you will work with, and this is where you will launch a ministry. I had no idea about anything called Barbara L. Peacock Ministry. And so we kind of got together, and I was sharing what I sensed with some younger people. And they said, well, you need to call that Barbara L. Peacock Ministries. And I was like, for sure, I can't call a ministry after my own name.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, well, because you have traveled around the country with your husband in corporate, mm-hmm. then it makes sense. It would be easier for people to connect with you.
Wow.
And Peacock is a good name. And so that's how Barbara L. Peacock Ministries started. And we started off with just simple things like a tea and a
mm-hmm.
luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just progressed over time as I began to find, Barbara L. Peacock Ministries began to find itself in the faith community. And we focus on prayer, spiritual direction, retreats, gatherings, and, of course, a lot of soul care. Soul sisters doing soul care,
amen.
Living it out each and every day, caring and loving one another.
Yeah, amen. Can't get enough of that. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that your health had to go to that level,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
when, even though you are a person in faith or in the faith community at large, you still sound to me like you still kind of questioned the timing, you know, God's given you order or direction And you want to make it your time and not his time. So it's so amazing.
Isn't that just human nature?
Yes.
That's how we are.
Yes, of course. Yeah. That's why we're always messing up things. Because we're trying to go by our clock, and we didn't even write the plan. Not even close.
For real.
And are you a mom?
Yes, I'm a mom. I'm a mom of one. We have one daughter. Her name is Brene Ivy Peacock Wilkinson. My husband gave her the initial VIP as a baby. And she was born on December the 27th. And she and her husband and our two wonderful grandchildren, they live in the Boston area, a little town called Roslindale.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, I am a mom. I'm a natural mom, and I'm a spiritual mom.
Well, happy Mother's Day to you today.
Happy Mother's Day to you and to all the mothers out there.
Amen.
Yes, natural and spiritually, yes.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I'm so happy to hear you say you have a spiritual mother, because I have one, too. And a lot of times, you know, people get mixed up when I say that. And I say, you know, she's not my biological mom. But, you know, my biological mom went home to be with the Lord almost 5 years ago, but she's just there in my spirit, and you know, we pray for one another, and we're just there, you know, just fulfilling that spot. How did you come across your spiritual mother as a spiritual mother?
Well, I have a lot of spiritual daughters and one natural daughter, as I shared, and one of my spiritual mothers is kind of like a mentor, and I've known her for decades, almost 40 years, and she lives in Connecticut, and then I have a spiritual mother as a spiritual director, and she lives here in North Carolina, and spiritual direction and soul care are really disciplines about loving and caring. I remember when our daughter was a baby, and I asked my mother, I was like, well, Mom, how do you really be a good mother?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, babies need lots of love and lots of attention.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that sounded pretty simple, right, when you're a new mom?
Yeah.
But that's a lifetime.
It is.
Of discipline, a lifetime of discipleship, a lifetime of mentoring, loving, and caring.
Mm-hmm.
And so even today, that carries me. Everybody needs a lot, lots of love and lots of attention, and that's really what soul care and spiritual direction are. They're giving that attentiveness to a person, and that's what my spiritual director does for me and for so many others. I have the opportunity to sit with her, and when you sit with a person doing spiritual direction and soul care, and I use those terms synonymously, it's really a listening skill that helps an individual better discern the activity of God in that person's life that you're sitting with, or with a group of people. You can do soul care and spiritual direction. I know a lot of people talk about soul stories and soul sisters, and all the genre that is used in those circumstances is great. But for me, in the book, my desire was to give credence to an origin, an inception of this discipline called spiritual direction, and to look at people like Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and Dr. Harold Carter, and to say this is what they were doing. No, we didn't call it spiritual direction, but Martin Luther King directed a whole nation, a whole world with what God had given him. That's spiritual direction. And people like Dr. Frederick Douglass, who was a very esteemed man, he learned to read from his slave master's wife, Mrs. Auld, and Mrs. Auld would read the Bible to her sons, and Frederick was listening on, and she saw that he was interested, and so she began to teach him to read the Bible, and she would read it slowly, and there's a Latin term called Lectio Divina, which means sacred reading, so that's really how much more sacred, the Bible is the most sacred book, so she was reading the sacred book to Dr. Douglass, and he was gleaning. So I attribute the discipline of Lectio Divina to the journey of Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
So, yes, I am a spiritual mother. Yes, I have spiritual mothers, and they are they're vital. They're important.
Yeah, they are. They truly are.
Yeah.
And in your book, Soul Care, I love this the introduction because you really break down African American spirituality. Start by talking about that section, please.
Yes, that's one of my. I remember when I was asked by my professors at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, mm-hmm. when did this was in my defense, and I had defended, I had memorized a portion of my bibliography, you know, you memorize your chapters and your stats, mm-hmm. and then out of the blue, they were like, well, when did this spiritual direction in African-American practice or from an African-American perspective begin?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, and so God just began to, I hadn't written about it at that time when it began. I had basically written about some statistics and, you know, definitions and all the things you do when you defend a paper.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave me the insight and the foresight that spiritual direction mm-hmm. from an African-American perspective began in the Middle Passage as persons were being transported from the coast of Africa to North America, the Caribbean, and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the beginning of the book, I talk about that, and I would like to read a portion of that. And I talk about these authors, Kellerman and Edwards, who wrote the book Beyond the Suffering. So my first quote will come from them, and then I will share a reading from the beginning of the book.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
As Kellerman and Edwards visualized the transporting of slaves from Africa to America, they wrote, even while stowed like animals below deck, they saw the shining North Star of God with upturned eyes of faith looking out spiritual portals. I love that. And I could just see our foreparents looking out of these spiritual mm-hmm. portals and having a glimpse of hope. And then I write, while in chains, mm-hmm. many slaves expressed great faith in God,
mm-hmm.
the only one who could deliver them from inhumane circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Many were infected with ferocious diseases, including respiratory ailments and fevers mm-hmm. that accompanied infection. During these challenging hours and days on slave ships, many fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters were attentive to each other's weary, mm-hmm. tired, and wounded souls.
Mm.
So that's when this soul care begins. It began on a slave ship as we took care of one another, as we nurtured one another,
mm-hmm.
as we mourned with one another, and as we listened to one another, that listening, that attentive listening,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
Just a brief excerpt, yes.
And the listening part is the crucial part, because if somebody's doing all the talking, you can't hear nothing. And because, you know, some people, that's all they do is yap, 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 yap. Hush. Be quiet sometimes and let your thoughts, you know, accumulate and let them be hopefully fresh to you and not destructive. Because that being quiet, peace, you know, I know folks right now that can't shut up. And I'm like, well, how are you supposed to get anything from anybody? You talked about wisdom. How are you supposed to get anything if you just yakety-yakking all the time? Not talking about nothing. talking loud ain't talking about nothing. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to go into several of these women in particular, because it's Mother's Day. But I want to spend a little bit more time in that part of the African-American spirituality, because our churches and our worship experiences are so much largely different than the mainstream. And
yeah.
So I want you to expound a little further on that for me, okay?
Yes, ma'am, indeed.
All
yes.
righty. Today's book, Soul Care. And we are happy to have Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock. She is author and talking with us on this beautiful Mother's Day morning from her home in North Carolina. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, members of the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra use paintings for inspiration.
I connected with kind of its simplicity, honesty, and warmth, and it kind of drew me in and almost brought me to that location.
Colors will bleed into each other, so I'm able to use the music to express those things.
That's next on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Foster care parents transform lives, and Youth Village's foster parents know that comes with a lot of support.
They're literally just a phone call away or a text away, and they treat the kids as if, you know, they're part of their family, and they always have their back, and they have our backs. Like, if you want to foster, do it through Youth Villages, because the people there are awesome.
Learn how you can foster a little hope. Go to youthvillages.org/foster. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
A Shiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online chat can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aciaretirement.org/Shiro today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. The book for this Sunday morning, this Mother's Day, is Soul Care in African American Practice. The author and the guest is Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock. She is founder of the Barbara L. Peacock Ministries, as well as a teacher, spiritual director, a loving mother and wife, and a good citizen, and a preacher, and a deep thinker. I already know. And we're happy to have her with us on this broadcast today. And I want to say good morning to the global family listening at WFSKFM.org. Appreciate you all finding us on the web. Now, Dr. Peacock, you were just getting started on your introduction, African-American Spirituality. There's a lot to unpack here. Can you go, and I know you have your book there because you were reading from it, and I was asking you prior to the break about the African-American experience and why we have emotion and we are the way we are. When it comes to being in the church experience, etc. Do you explain that further in the introduction so people who are not black can read this and understand a little bit more about why? Because, you know, it helps if they, you know, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think about Howard Thurman, a mystic, African-American mystic, a powerful, powerful theologian. Mm-hmm. And he talks about without suffering, there is no freedom.
Right.
And so we were a people that in our culture, in our African culture, we celebrated in worship. We were a musical people, energy, mm-hmm. colorful, drums and dancing and celebration and exuberance, and that's part of who we are. And so being exported to North America and other places, mm-hmm. we still are who we are at the core. But in the midst of our being transported, we experience much oppression.
Mm-hmm.
So not only, I mean, we have a duality, I would say a double whammy of energy and celebration mm-hmm. and singing and dancing in us as a culture, but also in us as people that have gone through the oppression mm-hmm. and have we continue to seek our equality and freedom. Mm-hmm. We have not arrived. The song "We Shall Overcome" mm-hmm. still has power. We still continue, like Paul says, to press toward the mark for the prize of the mm-hmm. high calling of God in Jesus Christ. We have paid a price, but we continue to look to that better mm-hmm. resurrection. We continue to look to that better day. But God has given us the tenacity, has given us the ability and the strength to endure mm-hmm. in the midst of the circumstances that we encounter every day. So we have something to praise God about. It's in our DNA, it's in our blood,
amen.
But it's also in our life experiences.
Amen. So next time you go to a black church, if you've ever gone and you're not black, you know, you'll get it. Or hopefully you will. And I know my audience is, you know, diverse. Do you find yourself having to explain that when you are at, your speaking engagements or different places culturally, or do other faiths understand the depth of our relationship with the Father?
That's a good question. I think about when I accepted my call into ministry in 1992, which has been a few decades ago, mm-hmm. and women were in ministry. Women in ministry have existed since the 1800s or even beyond that, but we still we're not encountering it without us. We still have our struggles as mm-hmm. women.
Mm-hmm.
As African-American women, we are have definitely been marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
But as we look at our spirituality, you know, for a long time early on in ministry, I found myself trying to explain why I was a woman in ministry. And I was like, you know, I really can't spend the rest of my life trying to explain something to some people that just aren't going to get it.
Right.
And so there comes a time you just have to do what you have to do. It's like you're in the kitchen and you're making a cake and you got the recipe memorized and you're trying to get the cake in the oven and you're trying to do X, Y, and Z. And somebody was like, can you tell me how you do that? You pretty much like, watch. Just watch. Just watch. And so that's kind of like it is with spirituality. Uh-huh. There's a level that you can explain, but at some point, I think there's a statement that says some things have to be caught. You have to catch it in the spirit. You have to want to catch it.
That's true.
And when I write the book, I use several lenses. I use the lenses of the Desert Fathers mm-hmm. back in the 4th century. I use the lenses of our passage coming to North America. But I also use the lenses. I use the lenses of African Americans, mm-hmm. obviously. But I also use the lenses and the definitions of our sisters and brothers mm-hmm. in the American European community to help define, but for me to redefine what it looks like for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
And I want to spend a little time in several of these African American spiritual leaders that you have highlighted. There are 10, and I think.
Yes.
I'm counting, what, 4 women?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, I want to have you go through, let's start with Rosa Parks and her section of the book that you wrote about.
Yes. I love all, it's like I sat with these women and taught with these women, even though I've only met one personally. I did have the opportunity to attend the homegoing celebration of Coretta Scott King, and I've met Renita Weems in person and talked to Dr. Jessica Ingram on the phone. But Rosa Parks was an amazing woman. She mm-hmm. is an amazing woman, and I just love her style. Mm-hmm. And as I was researching and trying to identify spiritual disciplines that African Americans practice, mm-hmm. I thought about Rosa Parks, and I was like, my, I could see her on that a bus quietly,
mm-hmm.
and I read a lot about how she participated in the civil rights movement, but it was a challenge to find information on her spirituality that mm-hmm. directly spoke to her spirituality, mm-hmm. and I came across a few sources. And that supported my theory on Rosa Parks, because my theory on Rosa Parks is that she was, at her core, a contemplative.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a contemplative. You have to be immersed in the scripture, and you have to have spent time with God in order for God to use you at that moment, at that time, mm-hmm. to sit on a bus and change. And God uses you to change the trajectory of our nation mm-hmm. as it relates to equality. Mm-hmm. And so I attribute Rosa Parks as being a contemplative and one of a woman of meditation. Mm-hmm. And I talk about the similarities between meditation and contemplation, but I also talk about the distinctiveness of the two.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have had a deep spiritual side in order to keep from going
she did not have a weapon.
Right.
Her weapon was her faith, her posture,
yes.
her mindset, her tenacity,
yes.
and her determination. Those yeah. are powerful weapons.
Yeah, it was. And it shook the world. I mean, that's deep. That really is deep. Now, I want to next go to one of Nashville's own. And when I saw that she was one of the ones, I immediately contacted the publisher. I'm like, Nashville Preacher Woman, and I know her. She's been on this show. She gonna be in here. We're gonna talk to her. We want to have this book on, because you spotlighted Reverend Dr. Renita Weems, co-senior pastor of the Ray of Hope Church here in Nashville. She's a gift to our region and to the ministry. And I'm just so delighted that you wrote saw her as one of your subjects that you wanted to dwell on as far as spirituality is concerned. Did you know each other for a long time? Or
no, I've just kind of met her briefly, but have never had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with her, but I look forward to that. But you can learn a lot about a person, as you know, through reading.
Oh, yes.
And when I was doing my research, I was looking for men and women that reflected the spiritual disciplines of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Renita Weems obviously jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
She serves in ministry, and mm-hmm. she understands the ebbs and flows of ministry and the mm-hmm. challenges. And she talks about how she had, I don't want to misquote her, but in my interpretation, like she had hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And she knew she needed help. And she was looking for it, and she talks about how she looked to other Protestant faith, other Protestant tradition mm-hmm. to help her come out of, I like to call it, this dark night of the soul, because many of us experienced a dark night of the soul, and St. John of the Cross talks about this dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And she found the help she needed, and she explains how we can have this false self and this true self, and that is important as men and women in the faith community that we come to understand our true self. But she also, in my book, I talk about the discipline of detachment and attachment mm-hmm. when I share about Dr. Renita Weems,
mm-hmm.
because we must come to, we're in a point now in this world, we are in a global sabbatical, mm-hmm. and we are experiencing a season of detachment and attachment. So
mm-hmm.
God has detached us from all of this activity and the business and the traffic and the prestige. I was online the other night,
mm-hmm.
and I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw this purse. And I was like, "Oh my, that's a nice purse." And then I said, "Where are you going with a purse?
Yeah.
You don't need another purse."
Exactly.
But that was a process of detaching.
Yeah.
No, we don't need another purse,
yes.
because we can't even use the purses we have.
Exactly.
We can't even drive the cars that we have,
exactly.
because of this reset that we're in.
Yeah.
So as it relates to a scripture that I like to support my theology is Psalm 46:10.
Uh-huh.
And God talks about how the mountain is falling into the sea, and we're experiencing all this rage in the earth realm.
Yeah.
And God is like, no matter what's going on,
yeah.
I have one requirement of you. And that is to be still.
Amen.
And to know
that I am God.
That I am God.
Amen.
That's what Rosa Parks
yes.
did.
Ooh.
And that's what Renita Weems did. She took the time to pause, to be still,
yeah.
that God would be more exalted. He was already exalted, but he would be more exalted
Amen.
On her spiritual journey.
Now, just in case you wondered about the pandemic, reset, detach. Let it go. And you know, it's so funny you say that about the purse. Because I was like thinking that the other day. I was like, you know, I need to get me some new pants to wear to work. And I'm like, girl, shut up. That's what I said to myself, you know, in the car. I'm like, and it's a good thing the store's closed. Because you know you
yeah.
got a closet full of them. You don't need nothing else. And, you know,
yeah.
it's just amazing how that works. So people are dying to go out there now and literally dying to spend money. And be appreciating what you have, for sure. Well, at least you have it, at whatever level you have it at. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one, because I said, surely I'm not the only person that feels like this. Thank you for your pocketbook story. I'm renewed this morning because I was like, am I going into shopping DTs or something? Now? I had to go buy, you know. So I think that that makes me feel so much better. I'm human after all, Dr. Peacock. Anyway.
Detach from that pocketbook and attach to God.
Yeah.
If we detach, wherever we detach, when we detach from something, there's an open space there.
Amen.
So if I'm going to detach from this, then I need to fill that space with something of value.
Amen.
To fill that space with reading scripture or prayer. And so instead of shopping, we pray, we read scripture, we spend time with our families.
Yeah.
And that's where God wants us at this hour.
Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful. So that's where I am at this hour. Very thankful to see another Mother's Day and to get an opportunity to talk with you. Today's book, Soul Care in African American Practice. Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock is the author and the guest. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, we're showing moms much love.
I always have to do that, man. That's my girl.
That's Sir Charles Jones. He's talking about his mom this weekend. He has the Fast Track Blues Soundbite. And Trudy Lynn will perform one of her past performances live this weekend just for mom. Join me, Rogene Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this Mother's Day weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Class of 2020, you're special. Through all of this adversity and a senior year only you can understand, you met the challenge, you've stood strong, and now you're graduating. A milestone we don't want to miss. Join LeBron James, Pharrell Williams, Malala, Yara Shahidi, the Jonas Brothers, Her, Bad Bunny, and many more on May 16th at 8 p.m. for a one-hour special event honoring America's high school seniors. On ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and with special experiences on Snapchat. Essentially everywhere. To celebrate you, your friends, teachers, your families, and most of all, this incredible class of 2020. Let's gather with family and loved ones to celebrate the graduating class of 2020. We can hardly wait to see you start changing the world. Graduate together, Saturday, May 16th at 8 p.m. 7 Central.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, it's Sharon Kay this Mother's Day morning. Glad to have you tuned in and listening, either locally here in Nashville or online at WFSKFM.org or any of the other ways that you stream online. We're just happy to have you with us today. The book for today, Soul Care in African American Practice. The author is Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock, and we are going through some of the figures in the book that she has used to help explain African American spirituality and our lives in the Christendom and how we can conduct them and enjoy a relationship with the Father. Number 7 in here of the 10, and I'm doing mainly the women today. is Dr. Jessica Ingram. Prayer and spiritual direction is the area that she reminds you of. Did you know her?
No, I didn't. I don't know Dr. Ingram personally, but I have a good friend that used to live in the Detroit, Michigan area that knew Dr. Ingram, and she was kind enough to connect us, and I had an opportunity to speak to Dr. Ingram on the telephone, and she is a certified spiritual director. And we are, as a faith community, more and more men and women are following that discipline to better equip our community. But Dr. Ingram is a strong woman of God who is committed to empowering other women, and she is a spiritual director, which is, as I said earlier, as I liken to soul care, someone that is committed to that discipline of the faith and sitting with a person or other persons to help them better discern
Reverend,
activity and work
Reverend
of God.
Peacock, what's the difference between a certified spiritual director and a minister?
That's a good question. I guess one thing that we understand is beauticians that are certified, hairdressers, barbers, and we want to make sure they know what chemicals to put on our hair or how to properly cut our hair. So they get their certification. They become certified in that particular area. And now we're finding that people that even have doctoral degrees are still going back and getting that certification in spiritual direction because they want to learn more about the discipline. And when you study, whether it's for, as you well know, whether you study for a bachelor's, master's, doctorate, or a certification, you become what we may consider an expert or more qualified in that area. And so it's just taking the time to learn the disciplines, to learn the history of that discipline. So in this case, it's spiritual direction. So it doesn't mean that you have to have, in this day and time, most spiritual directors are trained or licensed or certified. But we also, but we have spiritual leaders that may not have a piece of paper, just like you can have a beautician that may not have been trained, but she's an excellent beautician. So it doesn't mean that you can't be a good spiritual director, but many are taking that route to prove that they have taken the time to discipline themselves.
So would they be...
to get the proper knowledge and understanding.
Okay. So this person that is in this capacity would be like a theologian of sorts?
Yeah.
Okay.
But trained, like you have a counselor. A counselor is trying to help you work through the problem and find the root of it and to counsel, to give that advice. A therapist is trying to tweak it. It's like, what's really going on with you right now? A psychologist is in the mind. The spiritual director is like, what is God saying here? And so when someone comes and they say, well, I just, you know, I've had a rough life, or we know that one out of four women have been abused. So a woman may come and say, I've been abused. I've been mistreated. I've had all these encounters, and I just don't know what to do. And so a spiritual director will listen to that story, and the goal is to see God at that moment. The fact is that person is still here. So you're trying to help that person see the activity of God in their life. You're trying to help that person connect the dots and see where God is really working in their life. I love the way Henry Blackaby puts it. And he says, Lord, show me where you're working. Henry Blackaby wrote the book Experiencing God. And one of his quotes is, Lord, show me where you're working and let me join you there. So the spiritual director is not trying to fix it or tell you. He or she is trying to help you see God and help you see God for yourself. One of the things I like about the spiritual formation disciplines is the discipline of writing a spiritual autobiography. And that's writing a document for as far back as you can remember and bringing it up to the present and trying to connect the dots and seeking to see God along this journey. And writing your spiritual autobiography helps you understand yourself. And that's why I start the book with my childhood, to say I have to start with myself before I can try to see or understand anybody else. And that's often one of the things you talk about, the church. Often we haven't dealt with our pain. We haven't dealt with our misfortunes.
Right.
We haven't worked through these problems and kneaded them out and smoothed them out and settled them in our souls.
Right.
And we're trying to go on and serve in the faith community, mm-hmm. but we still haven't dealt with our own things.
Amen. So people aren't really plugging in totally to the full relationship with God.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I can. So my pastor.
And seeing God in right. the midst of it all.
Right.
Good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah, he used to tell me all the time, I need to get on the right frequency. And I was like, you know what? He used to tell me that all the time, and I said, I'm trying to get to it, you know, because I was a serious work in progress. And I said, how will I know? He said, when you're on the right frequency.
That's good.
I know it was, because you know what I do for a living. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, all right. I've been in this business a long time and on a frequency. So I got it immediately. Now, her prayer and spiritual direction. She on page this would be, I know you have your book there. This would be on 110, second third paragraph down. You write, Dr. Ingram encourages her readers to come aside and find rest. As a traveling companion journeying with God, she inspires the reader to go deeper in prayer to levels of intimacy that God eagerly desires for us. And that is kind of the place that we are now, is we have to slow down, as you mentioned before, and detach. Is that what this section of the book is in here for?
Yes. I'm looking here. Yes, it's about slowing down. Mm-hmm. It's about being still. Mm-hmm. It's about reflecting and taking time. When I look at this whole book, I kind of came to the conclusion. I said, this book is really about the Great Commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what Dr. Ingram is talking about here, mm-hmm. about loving God.
Mm-hmm.
With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, mm-hmm. with all of our strength,
mm-hmm.
and loving our neighbor
Amen.
As ourselves. This book is really designed to draw us closer to God
mm-hmm.
and to experience this supernatural dimension of intimacy
mm-hmm.
that is beyond our wildest imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Draw nigh to him,
mm-hmm.
and he'll draw nigh to you.
Amen. Now,
seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then everything else will come.
Amen. That's what's everything mm-hmm. else. That's what I'm looking forward to. I am, hallelujah. In every one of these 10, you have at the end of the close of each person that you pull out, reflection and practice. And then you have questions for reflection. I like that section. Why did you use that in here as instruction for the reader?
Yes. It can kind of be a Bible study and
mm-hmm.
a teaching tool all in one. You can read it, and then you can reflect on what you're reading, and then it kind of arrests you to say, now that you've read this,
right.
how are you going to apply this
right.
in your daily life?
Right, mm-hmm. right, right. And lastly, Mrs. Coretta Scott King on number 8 here in Prayer and Civil Rights. And you had mentioned that you attended her service.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's hear about her section, please.
Yes. Behind the discipline of prayer and spiritual direction, of supporting and undergirding the disciplines of prayer, the discipline of soul care and spiritual direction, prayer is the undergirding force. Prayer is the undergirding force, the supporting source of spiritual direction and soul care. And Mrs. Coretta Scott King, that's what she provided for her husband.
Hmm.
She was a woman of prayer, mm-hmm. and it was her prayers that was a conduit
mm-hmm.
of empowering and equipping the civil rights movement. Her
mm-hmm.
prayers, along with the prayers of others,
yeah.
including that of Dr. King's mother and father and
mm-hmm.
his colleagues and his Christian friends in the church, congregational prayers, the power of prayer when you're trying to move the pendulum. And that's who Coretta Scott King is. She is a woman of prayer.
Amen. And speaking of that, Reverend Dr. Peacock, I'd like for you to close us out this morning with our Mother's Day, our special Mother's Day prayer today. Because I know that some mothers, we need to get an extra, if somebody could say an extra word, we will take it. We'll definitely take an extra prayer today to support and gird up this day. Please.
Amen. Amen. God, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, this Mother's Day in 2020, mm-hmm. one that we have not seen before and one that we will never see. In the midst of a pandemic, oh God, we are still mothers. No matter what is going on, we are still mothers. Yes. And we thank you for the opportunity to be natural and spiritual mothers. My God, God, I thank you for my sister Sharon right here in the name of Jesus, who speaks to nations as a mother. Mm-hmm. I thank you for all of those that have sat at her feet and that have gleaned from her. Mm-hmm. I thank you for every mother that's on the line. I thank you even for the fathers that have had to take on the responsibility and the role of a mother, oh God. And God, I thank you that you are our all in all, that you are a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. God, that you are this loving, gracious, caring, mm-hmm. nurturing God. Mm-hmm. I thank you for the attributes of God as mother in the name of Jesus, oh God. So God, I just pray for comfort for those whose mothers are with the Lord, oh God. I pray for comfort for those mothers that are in the hospital. I pray for comfort for those that may need comfort in areas that we can't even conceive, oh God. And God, we celebrate this Mother's Day. God, we want you to know that we love you and that we honor you and we praise you. We thank you for this time together. And we pray that it has been pleasing in your sight. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Now, I feel good.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Thank you. I loved it. And I hope you all out there, the moms that need to hear that, no matter where you are, you might be driving down the street right now, but you heard that and receive it in the spirit in which it was given. And the ministries of Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock can be found where?
At BarbaraLPeacock.com.
And Soul
BarbaraLPeacock.com, yes.
Okay, and Soul Care and African American Practice, the book is everywhere?
Yes, the book is everywhere. It's with Amazon. It's with InterVarsity Press, Goodreads, Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Yes, and I appreciate your support, and I thank you so much for having me. I love you, and I look forward to meeting you one day.
Oh,
yes.
Hopefully you will. And
I would love that.
Yeah, I would too.
I've been checking you out.
Oh, I'm a big hugger, so you know when it's over and we can start hugging like we used to, then I love to have you come in, you know, in the house. But you know, I feel blessed and you know, to be able to do this work, and you know, God is continuing to let me do it, and I'm gonna continue to do my best. And that's that.
Amen. And I'm sending you a big hug. I have my arms up and they're all around you and my cheek is next to your cheek in the spirit.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, so much, so much. And Dr. Peacock, I want you to have a blessed Mother's Day as well. And you are the perfect person to have on with us today, okay?
Thank you, and God bless you, and happy Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. She was the perfect one for Mother's Day today, and I'm grateful for her time with us this morning, and her spirit is in her book, of course, Soul Care in African-American Practice. There's really some excellent work in there. And I wish her the very best. Because that book just came out, you know. We got it fresh, y'all. You know I like fresh. I like them fresh. And we're thankful for for her today. Now, Nashville, since we had that beautiful prayer, I'm going to let that seal you up tight as a drum because that was just so beautiful. You all have the very best of the best and the most blessed Mother's Day that you can have. And you all have the very best of the best and the best of the. I just made that up. And we will be with you on Wednesday.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.